the events that happened just before the reading, Elijah told Israel's king Ahab. He went to the palace and he said that a famine was coming. It was punishment because Ahab had turned away from God and toward idols. Ahab, it says, had done more to provoke God's anger than any king of Israel ever had. This is like Ahab, the king of being awful, the best awful king ever. And so there was a famine. It was punishment. So can you hear, just from that little bit there, could you hear a sermon that God's going to get you if you don't straighten up? Those kinds of sermons, those kind of speeches, can you hear them in your head? I've heard those preached before, and I hate them. So Elijah went to Zarephath during the famine and asked the widow there for some food. The people in Zarephath, doesn't say in the Bible here, but just a little, you know, woven in there, the people in Zarephath worshipped Baal. They didn't worship the God of Israel. They were not a God of Israel worshiping place. And so there's no reason to believe that the widow worshiped anyone but Baal. The widow, who thought that she and her son were going to starve to death, and after some convincing, gave Elijah some food. He had promised it would be enough food and oil for her to survive and to thrive, she and her son. And they did have enough to thrive. And from that, maybe you could hear a, God provides enough to thrive even when we don't think there's enough to survive. Can you hear that speech in your head? I love them. They're not the only thing that you can preach about, but I do love them. But can you hear me preaching this one someday? God provides enough to idol worshipers. Usually you don't hear that one. Not at all. But that's in there too. It sounds like God is more concerned with helping the powerless and the poor than worrying about what political or religious affiliation someone might have. Because this widow didn't have the right religious affiliation. We don't know about her political affiliation, and the Bible doesn't care about that. But wait, there's more. This fed and thriving, idol-worshipping widow and her son faced another horrible situation. So they got to live for several days and everything with the oil and with the food that, you know, it's kind of like this thing that is never emptied. But then the son got sick. And even though it doesn't quite say he died, it pretty much says he died. There was no breath left in him, and breath means life. No breath means no life. The widow then yelled at Elijah, "What is this with your God? Is he so mad at me for my past that he kills my son? What do you have against me, man of God?" It's as if she was taunting him and mocking him. And so Elijah, instead of responding with, "You don't talk about my God that way," no, he said, "Give me your son." Took him upstairs. And he yelled at God, "Why did you let this child die? Why would you do such a thing?" But then the son came back to life. The woman was happy. The son was happy. Of course the son was happy. The woman believed and told Elijah that he was a true man of God. And I don't think that she was mocking him this time. "You are a true man of God, and the words that come from your mouth are the truth of God." Can you hear the, when your child dies, yell at God? And the religious folk speak with sarcasm and anger, and then have the religious people yell at God and pray for God to bring the child back to life, and everything will have a happy ending sermon? Because I can't preach that one. This is what happened, but I can't promise that's how it happens for everyone. Never ever heard that sermon. But it does sound like God is more interested in comforting those who are in dire straits and giving compassion to those who are sad than worrying about how polite or respectful someone is who is in pain. How polite or respectful someone might be in God's direction or a religious person's direction or really in anyone's direction. God is more interested in providing compassion than scolding. "Don't you talk to me that way." So does that mean that we should start a rip on God club? Because God's going to love us and let us, you know, be forgiven and give us what we need anyway. No, I don't think that that's what it is. And the famous Luther line of sin so that grace may abound, that's not what God wants us to do. It's not what Luther wanted us to do. It's not what anyone wants us to do. We sin and grace does abound, but it doesn't mean sin so that grace may abound. God will love you even when you're yelling at him. God will love you even when you're so angry. You're like, I would have done things differently. God will never reject you. It doesn't mean that you should spend your days constantly saying, I would have done it differently. But just know that when you're at the end of your rope and you say things that you probably wouldn't say when you weren't at the end of your rope, God says, I get it. I feel for you. Let's see what we can do. That means that God loves us through every emotion, through every experience, through every mistake, through every celebration, through every bit of profanity that we utter. Raise your hand if you've ever used profanity in anger. Come on. If you don't raise your hand, everyone here, okay, maybe not the littlest ones, everyone here has used profanity in anger. Some of us use profanity not in anger, right? Just because it's fun. But through everything, everything, God loves us. Now, we're not going to get a wallet that keeps filling up every time we empty it. You know, oh, look, there's another 100 in here. There's another 100. That's like the widow's bowl. It just, if that happened, that would be really cool. I don't expect it to happen. I'm not going to say that God couldn't do that, but, you know, just not expecting that. The widow did not expect for her bowl to be full. And we won't get tragedies undone. It's not even unlikely. I mean, it's that kind of stuff isn't going to happen. It doesn't mean that God couldn't make it happen. It may be possible. And I wish that I knew why God didn't do that stuff for everyone. I wish I had an answer to why doesn't God stop the tragedies, or how can God let evil things happen? I wish I had an answer to those, and I don't. I don't get what I want. I ask God, undo this, and it doesn't happen. But I still trust that God does provide an abundance of love, of life, of what we need, not to just survive, but to also thrive, to grow. There's a similar instance in the Bible to today's reading from 1 Kings, or is it 2 Kings? 1 Kings. That's Elijah bringing the widow's son back to life. There's a woman who gave some really snarky answers to Jesus after Jesus made some snarky comments about Gentile people and referred them as like dogs, puppies, sort of. But it wasn't a nice comment. And she made a comment back, hey, the dogs under the table get the children's crumbs. And Jesus was like, I got to save the children, not really here for the dogs. Well, she made a snarky comment back, got Jesus, and he goes, you know what, for saying that, your daughter is healed. There's a little bit of impoliteness, and God got the compassion part there, because that's what God gets. There's another time Jesus brought a dead girl back to life after people told her mother and father to stop bothering Jesus. They were chasing after him, saying, heal my daughter, heal my daughter. And the disciples were really like, would you shut up after? You know, just leave him alone. And Jesus healed their daughter. See, God is on the side of those who need compassion. God is on the side of those who are hungry. God is on the side of those who are exploited. God is on the side of those who are rejected. God is on the side of those who are forgotten. Now, God loves everyone. So it doesn't mean God's not on the side of everyone. But God has this special place for people who don't have enough, who've been rejected, who've been exploited. What we can do, as people of God, we can be the people who live God's love through compassion, through generosity, through advocacy, through forgiveness, through acceptance. We could also make mistakes, and I hope that we won't. I hope that we won't be the people who stand on the corner and shout, what about my rights? And what about my stuff? Because, you know, we've got a lot of stuff, and our rights aren't being violated when some things happen. We have stuff. God has blessed us. Let's be the advocates for compassion, for generosity, for forgiveness, for acceptance. Let's not be the people who stand on the corner and shout out, "What about mine?" and try to make it sound religious, because it's not. It's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to do the things that God would do, that God does. And God is on the side of the poor, the widow. God is on the side of the exploited. God is on the side of the people that we wish would go away. God provided enough for a poor Baal-worshipping widow and her son. God oozes love and compassion and mercy and generosity and forgiveness and acceptance. And God offers to all of us, to everyone, life to the full. And let's pray. Thank you, God, for the life that you give. Help us to be a people who ooze your love, your generosity, your compassion, your mercy, and your care. Help us to live life to the full. In Jesus' name, amen.